The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's too much to be tweaked about, so we'll just take it to the top Tuesday. And we concentrate on what speaks life and let the blind lead the blind. That's some good advice. First up, it always seems to take forever to get anything done based on our timeline, but wait, there's more. Isn't that irritating? Next, call me Ray. Call me Ray J. Call me J Ray. Call me Ray J Ray. But just call God by his name. And finally, remember the movie Toy Story? Do you remember the theme song? You Got a Friend in Me? Why is that spiritual? Because unlike Hans, we can't fly solo.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you got two ways to get in touch with us. You can call us at 972-445-0770. Or you can text us. Yes, you can do either one of those. 214-210-8483. So those are for four kind of unique things. They're for praise reports. They're for prayer requests. They're for pop questions, which we'll do the best we can to help you and to answer. And they're also for trivia. And we always like to start off with trivia. But as you know, the trivia questions have been getting a little more intense. That is on purpose, because I want you guys digging a little deeper. Here's the first trivia question for those who are feeling ready. What is the name of the Bible character who said, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit"? Who is the Bible character who said that? That is a fascinating question. Who said that? If you know, you can text 214-210-8483, or you can call 972-445-0770. Remember, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Let me give you a quick shout-out. We've had today we have Sarah and Don visiting the station. Don is the owner, and he's enabled me to be on the radio here in Texas. And so for all those that consider that a blessing, you can be in prayer for Don and for Sarah and for the whole Crawford Broadcasting Network and for the Broadcasting Network here specifically in Texas. That's right. For those that don't like it, oh, well, that's my response. We got a couple things that we need to cover. One of the first things I want to talk to you about is a text that I received from one of our favorite listeners. I'm not going to give too many details. Got to be careful on stuff like that. But I just wanted to give you an update for us praying for people and what takes place when you do send a prayer request in. Here it is. I'm going to eliminate the names but share the testimony. This text said, "Howdy, update to prayer request I sent on July 6th for a family testing positive for COVID-19. The other day, they received follow-up test results, all negative, cleared of the virus. They're still recovering, but getting strength back. So very grateful. Thanks for all the prayers." The reason that I bring that up is not to say, oh, well, look, our show, oh, it's fantastic. Oh, it's like, no. What it is you and me and all of us taking that little mustard seed of faith and putting it together, having a little more and a little more and a little more. If you want to think of it this way, having an ounce of faith, an ounce of faith, an ounce of faith, an ounce of faith until you have like a gallon. And then with that amount of faith, you pray and you ask God to help. And that seems to do the trick a lot better than just a little bit of itty-bitty-bitty-bitty faith. And the idea behind this is that we do it collectively. So I want to thank the audience and everybody who participates in praying for the people in the audience. And that shows you that God does respond and answer prayer. So somebody might, in the doubtful realm, say, well, how do you know that specifically is how that person received healing and touch and so on and so forth? I mean, do you know that it's from prayer? Let me answer something that's going to really blow your mind. No. Okay? But you pray, and maybe the Lord says yes, and maybe the Lord says no, and maybe the Lord says wait. But if you don't ask, nothing happens. And if you never witness, nobody gets saved. And if you never share, nobody hears it. And if you never bless, nobody gets blessed. And if you do nothing, then nothing happens. Is that the attitude you want to have? No. We want to be people that are like, look, I'll pray 100 times. If 1 out of 100 gets healed, I'll pray 1,000 times so that 10 people will get healed. That's how you got to think of these things. Do we know it didn't relate to it? No, we don't know that either. What we know is that we prayed about it, asked God for help in it, and God did the miraculous in somebody's life. You like that? I like that. I think it's good. Is it good?
It's good.
Okay. All right, before we get into our teaching, and our teaching is kind of a classic. Maybe we'll do the dictionary, yes. Let's go to the teaching first, because I think it coincides with what we just talked about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. You've heard this verse before, and you've heard it eschatologically. I want to challenge you to use it practically in an everyday context. It says this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." All right. Paul writing this under the verbal plenary process of the Holy Spirit, using his personality to write, but not extracting him from the process, says, look, there's a mystery. I want to talk to you about this mystery. And this is what he says. We're going to be changed. Now, we're not talking about the sanctification process that goes on step by step by step by step, which is the way that the Lord makes you look like Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says glory by glory, which means step by step. Which is why some people don't, you know, the justification past stuff in salvation is fantastic. The glorification future stuff is fantastic. It's this middle part that we're in, the sanctification, where God takes the 2x4 and goes whack, 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 and makes you look more like Jesus step by step. But here's something that Paul is talking about, and I want to use this for something you can use in your life. And he says this, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Let me explain something to you. Do you know how fast a twinkle of an eye is? I know you're thinking, well, I can blink really fast. That's cool, but that's not a twinkle. A blink is not a twinkle. The twinkle is that thing that in your eye out of nowhere, and it's like a little light. It twinkled, bing. And it's so fast, it's 100 times faster than a wink. And that's how fast it can be for God to make the change in the things that are going on in your life. People think, well, sometimes it does seem to take a long time. And here's my answer. Yep, it does. There's time from time. I look up to God with all earnestness, with a sincerity, and I just say, I cannot believe your middle name is Molasses, because this is just moving so slow. I mean, come on, Lord. Right? And then inevitably, most of us would say, well, if I was God, see, which is a very dangerous thing to say. But the idea that God doesn't do anything on our time frame is something we should well understand, and we should well respect and appreciate. And if God wanted, the entire scope of the universe can change in a twinkle. Not just your life. Let me rephrase that so I'm saying that better. the entire scope of the universe could change in a twinkle if God wanted. So in your situation, what you're going through, how it is how it is, you know, from time to time, it's like it's a laborious process and you're moving it step by step. Don't misunderstand that God's purpose in delaying or in bringing it around piece by piece does not necessitate his inability to make it happen instantaneously. But if the Lord chooses delay, he chooses delay for purpose. He chooses delay because he knows that's the best answer for you and me. And when you think about it in those terms, you understand, well, okay, maybe my timing is a little off. So I will give you an example from everyday life that you could greatly appreciate because we all have encountered it at some point or another. I think T will probably testify to this if we get the time. But bottom line is, if you're driving in the freeway and there's an accident, all travel wisdom has left. It's gone, right? I mean, it's just like you're just – what do you do when there's an accident in front of you and there's 14 police cars? And it's like, yeah, wait. You wait. And you know why they do that? So that you don't run over all the stuff that the accident created. They get the people out safely. Everything happens well. The other day I was driving down the freeway down here and there was an accident to happen. Remember I'm having all these weird things happen? Somebody had some metal in the back of their truck, like these metal little framey things. I don't know what you call them. And but they have holes in them and they're metal and so on and so on. And they were like littered all over the freeway. Okay? If I would have went at the regular speed the way that I thought and just would have kept going and doing and doing, and I would have hit any one of those things with my tire, I'd have no tires. So sometimes the slowdown is for our benefit. Isn't that – that's a good way to look at it, right? That's fair.
That is. I like that. That's a good way.
I mean, it's just, if you think it in those terms, it's kind of a better way to go about it, I think. You know, I mean, you can look at everything negatively. That's what Satan tried to get Eve to do. Yeah, look at that. You can only eat so many trees in the garden, only 9,000 of them. You can't have 9,001. Oh, my gosh, you're right. I got to do something about that. That's right. You're stuck with me. You might as well get used to it. All right, let's answer the trivia question. What is the name of the Bible character who said, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit"? That answer is Elisha, who asked that from Elijah to receive a double portion of his spirit. And consequently, he had 14 miracles recorded where Elijah had 7. Pretty interesting. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving part, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men." Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Hot Topics.
Pointing out inconsistencies is not disparaging.
It's just the truth. Number two, our job as in church discipline is where you can't judge those that are outside the church. Number three, the people we were talking about were Christians anyway. Number four, you think this is bad? Wait, this just gets worse and worse, people. Regarding Paul's statement of speaking evil of leaders being inappropriate, the context is also critical and can be misapplied. Now, how many times I told you, watch out for bad Bible brains.
The David Spoon Experience.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
You're here when I need you the most. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget, if you go to livinginhisgrip.com, you can download some of our intro music for free. They have the hymn project there. There's 10 songs. Yes, those people are related to me. No, they don't get any money for it. I can't say that any. Can I say that any better? Is there a way to? No? I mean, we don't get any.
Better way.
This is like not a money-making organization. This is just an organization. Half the time, I think it's just an org. Oh, wait. We use that for our intro part, don't we? Don't forget, you can call us 972-445-0770, or you can text us 214-210-8483. I don't want to leave people out in the dust because I could ask a couple of really tough, super-duper tough trivia questions, so I want to mix it up. So this one's going to be a little easier. Let's see you do this without looking at the Bible. The book of Romans has how many chapters? Bam. Just leave it there. The book of Romans has how many chapters? Bam. Okay. 214-210-8483 is the text. The phone call, 972-445-0770.
Keep calling!
What was that? What was that?
Keep calling!
Just, you know, encouraging them to keep calling.
Keep calling. Keep calling. I like that. All right. So this is the book of Romans. All right. So book of Romans. Book of Romans, people. How many chapters? Got to guess off the top of your head. All right. Website. This is our website opportunity to do our double song here. So let me just tell everybody. HeMustIncrease.org. Website. HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook. HeMustIncrease Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email, David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Don't you like it when you play it twice? Because then it's got a little bit more going on. We gotta loop that. Is there a way to splice it together so you don't have to just play it twice?
Yeah, I think there
okay.
is.
All right, let me know. Don't forget on HeMustIncrease.org, this is me talking. If you can give, give. Okay? If you can't give, don't give. We do not, and I'm going to say this really nice. I need you guys to make sure that you support your local church where you're getting fed. That's like the most important thing. And then you support the ministries that are a blessing to you as you move along. Okay? So, you know, just kind of move it along, you know, and do your best. And if you can contribute, great. And if you can't, then you can pray for us. You can take that big 10 seconds. I believe you can. And we're asking you to do that. So that's something I would ask of you. A couple things we want to do, and then we'll get rolling into our teaching. First thing we want to do is we want to do some quick words on our Yiddish dictionary.
Hava, nagila, hava.
It's just so funny. You guys just, you don't understand that from the time I was three, and then, so, you know, I went, you know, to Sherezetic all the way up until I was bar mitzvahed. I mean, if I didn't hear that song five times a week, it'd be a miracle. All right, we're talking about some Yiddish words and what they mean. Today's word is called kvetch. Kvetch. Do you know kvetch? Kvetch. K-V-E-T-C-H. K-V-E-T-C-H. Kvetch. All right, so here's what it is. You really don't want somebody to call you a kvetch or tell you you're kvetching too much. As a noun, this word describes someone who complains far too frequently, and as a verb, it refers to the act of complaining. So he's kvetching. See, this is what they said. So when God was in heaven and their children of Israel were in the desert and they were all whining, it was like, they're kvetching. Okay. I'm just helping everybody understand this. Okay? There you go. Let's see. We've got our teaching, and I do want to make sure we do cover just a couple of things on our history. We just want to make sure you know what's going on. This is an important, very important day today. Today is National Junk Food Day, okay, which is not good for you, but every once in a while, come on, right? Every once in a while, you just need to have something awful.
Yummy.
That's a new one. And then National Tug of War Tournament Day, which I thought was kind of like, that's interesting. It's a national where they do these little playoffs and stuff like that. On this day each, Jesse James and John Dillinger, listen to this, though. This is almost as bizarre as it gets. 50 years apart, but on the exact same day, both committed their first crimes. Isn't that the weird? It's like, what is this, crime day? This is terrible. And then for those that really want to get into the depth of all of it, in 1983 on this day at Vostok in Antarctica, this was the coldest recorded day, 128.6 degrees below zero. It's kind of like it is if I leave a mess and walk in the house. Kind of like 128.6 degrees below zero.
Now that is cold.
It's cold. That is cold. All right, folks. Let's get to our next teaching. People are just like, what is wrong with you folks? Everything. Who's calling is the name of this one. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. Then Moses asked God, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now watch this. There are 17, at least, 17 different names that God uses to identify himself in the Old and New Testament. At least 17. Okay? Primarily focusing on the Old Testament. But there's only one name that you can utilize that would bring all 17 names together, and that is the name I Am. Now, we have people that from time to time listen to the show that are what we would call JW acquaintances. That'd be Jehovah's Witnesses. They're acquaintances. I did not call them brothers. Here's the deal on his name. There, and I've had this conversation about 100 million times. Okay, it's an exaggeration, but, you know, hyperbole has its place. The bottom line is, well, what was God's name? I Am. Well, that's not a name. Well, that's because God defines himself by who he is and what he does. And you know what I Am means? I Am means I am whatever you need me to be God, I am. Ha! So the greatness of that name, I am the King of Kings. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am Jehovah Rapha. All those things that you want to drop in there and all those names you want to put in there, that's fantastic. But the reason that I am is so powerful is because, first of all, it's present tense, which is fantastic. I am who I am. And then second of all, it is the filling of every possible name that would be for God in the context of what is needed and what is not just desired, but what is helpful and most beneficial, that's who God is. And that's why he said, this is my name. Now, I know it's difficult for some people, and I love you. I love you in the Lord. But if God wants to be called the I Am, then you should go with okay. You should go okay to his I Am. Oh, by the way, Jesus called himself the I Am. So this is not like something that is not carried on from Old Testament, New Testament. It is. And the idea that that is not a name is absurdity. I mean, that's exactly what it is. And God is telling you, look, if you need somebody there to comfort you, I am the God of comfort. If you need somebody there to discipline you, I am the God of discipline. If you need somebody to supply for you, I am the God of supply. If you need somebody to emotionally strengthen you so that you don't bang your head against a nail trying to put it into a 2x4, God is the God that helps emotionally strengthen you so you don't bang your head and try and put a nail into a 2x4. It's what you need. Do you get that? It's what you need. And that's who God is. Everything you need, God is. And that's what's so cool about that name. And so the reason that I bring that up is because that is something that you should be aware of when you and I are praying or spending time with the Lord. It's not like you come before the Lord and you go, well, I don't know if you can pull this off. I don't know if you can do this. I mean, I know you're strong and powerful and, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, 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 no. This is the being that spoke matter into existence simply by command. This is the being that created the universe. This is the being that chose you. This is the being that identified you and that helped you to move to this place where your eyes were open and you were able to say, my Lord and my God. It's like, how cool is that? And he's the creator of the universe, and he knows your name, and he'll help you out. And you can't earn it. You just got to go, okay. There are times in our lives where you just go, okay. This works for me. Sounds good to me. I am that I am. So for those that are wondering what his name is, it's I Am. That's his name. And then all those other names as identifying markers. Those are not his only names. One has the suspicion that God has multiple names, but not multiple identities, multiple names. There's a big difference. Okay? All right. See, that's why Jesus said, I am. See? Aha! He never called himself God. No, 27 references in the New Testament. That's all. All right, let's get back to the trivia. Only 27, Dave? Yeah, maybe 32, but I don't know about those other five. Here's the question. The question was, the book of Romans has how many chapters? That was the question for the trivia question. For people got a little bit confused on that. Here is the answer. There are 16 chapters in the book of Romans. I do not know all the words in all of them, but I do know many. That's kind of cool. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
That a joyful heart makes like medicine. If you've got a better joke than these, you can call and tell me, but it's got to be a better joke. How do groups of angels greet each other? Ready for this one? Halo, halo, halo. Come on, like halo. Come on. You don't like that one? Oh, come on. Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. See, because he threw down the tent. Where was Solomon's temple located? You know that one? On the side of his head. What? That's a legend. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Okay. How do we know that there were automobiles in Jesus' time? Do you know this one? It's an old one. It's very simple, because the Bible says that all the disciples went out and were in one accord. Okay. All right. Did you hear about the dial-up prayer service they have for atheists now? Did you hear about that? You dial the number, it rings and rings and rings, and nobody answers.
Spoon!
Okay. Somebody's going to dislike this one, but this is silly, so just relax. Take a deep breath. Are you going to tell me life's so serious? I mean, are you not just sick of everything that's going around? Take a deep breath and think about this. Who are Gumby's favorite Bible characters? That's right. That's right. I said Gumby. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. Thank you very much. Who was the smartest man in the Bible? Smartest man in the Bible. Abraham, because he knew a lot. Come on. That's good. All right. Here, we'll get to the best ones, and then we'll quit. On the ark, Noah got milk from the cows. What did he get from the ducks? Quackers. All right, that's not that good. What animal could Noah not trust? You should know this. I've told you this before. What is it? What animal could Noah not trust?
A lion.
No, the cheetah. The cheetah. Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, son of Nun. There you go. See, because it's N-U-N. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Oh, my.
Hey, listen to those jokes sometimes.
Come on. Actually, one of those answers was pretty good. What animal can't Noah trust? The answer was cheetah, but lion, that's pretty good, too. The lion. See, you didn't like it. She didn't like that. T doesn't like it. She's telling me, no, that's not going to work.
No, that's not going to do it.
Okay. That's a great sound. Play that again.
No, that's not going to do it.
Oh, I love it. All right, watch this. This is something from my past. I came across this. I was doing a little bit of review. We'll get into the trivia question in a second, but just follow this. This is how my show started. This is many moons ago. This is what I used to do for sponsorships because I didn't have any sponsors. I would say this. It's only four lines, but it's pretty funny. This segment is brought to you by... Sin. Sin separates you from God. Sin makes you sick. Sin leads to personal ruin. Sin puts you in the grave. Thanks, sin. Thanks a lot.
Oh, dear God, no.
Come on, that's just too funny. It's just, poor T, she's like, oh my gosh, I need the air conditioning to work again. And right now. All right, folks, reach out to us if you want to, 972-445-0770. Also, 214-210-8483 for the texting. Here we go. This is going to be tough. I didn't say any of this was easy. Lydia, the seller of purple, was from which city? Kind of like a little bit of a geography locational kind of question. Lydia from, she was the seller of purple, from what city? Very specific answer. It is in the book of Acts. Give you a chance to look it up. Don't forget our identifying mark, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncrease Ministry. YouTube, HeMustIncrease Ministry. All right. Now, oh, we got somebody calling in on the trivia. All right. All right, bitches, Lynn. All right, let's see who it is. Here we go. Ready? Here it is. There's the phone. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, this is Brother Ace.
Hey, what's going on, Ace? How are you doing, brother? How's it going?
I'm doing real good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right. Got you in prayer all the time, making sure you're doing good. It's important for me that you do well. All right, my friend. So you know this lady, she's pretty important. She's a pretty important person in the scriptures, in the framework of the Bible. Lydia, she was the seller of purple. From which city was she from?
My memory wants to say Thyatira or something like that.
That is close enough. It's Thyatira. That's right.
Thank you.
Thyatira. And she was actually the first convert in that whole Philippi section. It was the jailer was after her, but she was from Thyatira. And that was the city she was from. She was a seller of purple. Purple is an exotic dye that is a very nice way of saying she was loaded. Let me explain this. She was loaded. I mean, she was wealthy. I mean, I'm just telling you. So, good job, my brother.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Appreciate your love. Thank you. God bless you.
You too.
All right. Good job, Lydia from Thyatira. Thyatira. All right. Let's take a peek at our ministry partner. She's thinking, which one is that? The ministry partner. That's so funny.
I like was trying to multitask, and I was like, wait.
You should have seen Tiara. She was like, oh, wait. And then she leans back, and she's like, it's one of these buttons. That was just legend. Don't forget about Kimberly McEllis. Kimberly, you should be Kimberly McQuinn. Now it's Kimberly Ellis. See how far we're back we're going?
We're just backtracking.
We're just backtracking. The wheels have fallen off the bus. Kimberly is fantastic for first-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosures, short sales. You might be thinking, you know what? I need to get into a place. You might be thinking I need to sell a place. It might be both of those. Regardless, if you just want to talk to somebody without having that obligation, you just want to get an understanding on the real estate happenings and what the market is doing and what it looks like during the COVID's process. You know, what does that mean? How are the loans going? How are things moving along? How long does it take to get a house? How long does it take to sell a house? It could be any of that. You want to get in touch with Kimberly. Her number is 903-48-HOMES. That's 903-48-HOMES. You can also reach her by going to our website, hemustincrease.org, but to talk to her directly, 903-48-HOMES. There you go. All right. Let's talk about this kind of like my favorite teach. So usually the second, third, or fourth. The first segment I always want to do as an intro is get everybody ready and prepared, but although I think a lot of those teachings are pertinent for everything we go through. But usually this third or fourth teaching, especially the thirds, are the ones that I have probably spent more time on. This one's called You've Got a Friend in Me. Do you remember the cartoon Toy Story? I mean, who doesn't remember Toy Story, right?
Just watched Toy Story 4 like a week ago.
Did you really? Was it any good or not
as
good?
It was so great.
Like, it was really good? Okay.
The movie.
All right. The original song, You Got a Friend in Me. It was done in 1995, I think, by Randy Newman. You got a friend in me. No, it's a classic, right? Watch this. Why, these are the things that I look at and I think, when I hear that, I think, wow, that's a really catchy song for kids and even adults like it. But this is the kind of thing that sticks out to me when I'm reading scripture. Exodus 18, 15 through 18. Moses replied to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God, whenever they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I make a decision between one man and another. I teach them God's statutes and laws. What you are doing is not good, Moses' father-in-law said to him. You will certainly wear out both yourself and these people who are with you because the task is too heavy for you. You can't do it alone. So I think of something like, you got a friend in me, and this is where it applies. Here's Moses, who had just the most outrageous job. Now, keep in mind, he's not the son of God. So his job, especially in the Old Testament with Israel, I mean, it's just so tough. You should have just tons and tons and tons of absolute respect and honor for Moses. Just what a great guy. Here's the bottom line. After he gets them out and he's moving them along the process in Exodus, the people are bringing their disputes, and he is the one who's settling them using God's word, using wisdom, using process to settle them. His father, Jethro, okay, that's his father's name, he says to him, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I'm answering all the problems for the people. I'm solving everybody's problem everywhere, all around. And what his father-in-law says is, not good. Now, there's probably not a lot of people that could have talked to Moses that would have caught his ear, but the father-in-law is always somebody that you listen to. Okay. It's telling you how that goes. And here's what he's saying. You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to burn out yourself, and the people who are coming to you, they're also going to burn out just waiting for you because, dude, it's too heavy to fly solo. Now, what that means for you and I as Christians is that there is no lone wolf McQuaid in Christianity in the sense of walking with Jesus. You do not get to be an island unto yourself. Fellowship is a – it's not a thought. God didn't say, well, it's a fellowship. It's like an afterthought. It says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, which is a lot more than just church, by the way. It's in totality. And the idea behind that is for us to be in some kind of Christian community. Why? Because you and I need help. That's why. Because we need the help of others to do the things that have got to be done. One of the things that happened for me when I was pastoring in Flagstaff is I talked to another pastor who'd sent me out, and I asked him, I said, what do I do if I know I'm at that point where I need help? I can't do this. So, you know, the church started off, was fine. We started off with 20 people. I was like, okay, I could do that. Then the church went up to about 125 or 130, and it was starting to get beyond me. And I said, what do I do? And he said, have you identified certain people that you think are of like mind who really have a heart and a care? I said, yeah, I got this one couple in particular that I am considering, you know, just leaning on and so on and so forth. You know what he said? He said, go tell them that. Go say, I need somebody to lean on. Can I lean on you? Will you help me? Because I need help. He said, if they're the ones, they'll say yes. They said yes instantly. It was one of those things where you learn it's not it's pride that says you don't need anybody's help. That's not something God doesn't want you to do that, especially when we're talking about Christians using and helping and working with other Christians. It's not that you can't do this in the Lord, but the way that God has set it up is the same way he set up the 12 tribes of Israel. Each tribe needed the other tribe to cover the territory. That's how it went. And we need one another to cover the territory. And if you're in a position and you're kind of on the downside or things are getting too much or they're too heavy, it's not just a show like this, which I'm glad it is for some of you. It's more. You need fellowship. You need people to rely on. You need people to be able to talk to. First thing I said to all my kids, have an outlet. Have somewhere to go. Have somebody to be able to dump on, unload on, that you don't have to worry about, that you can share with. And not worry about that judgment coming back, that person will just love you. Then they're not going to be God, but they can be as close to a place for you to lean. And my encouragement for every one of you is have the right outlet. And if you don't have anybody in your lives, guess what you could do? Ask the maker of all humanity to bring somebody to you. You made them all. Can you bring one my way? That's all you got to do. Because it's our friendship and our strength in one another. Remember, it's one heavenly father, one dad, blood relatives, the blood of Jesus Christ, drinking from one fountain, the Holy Spirit. Right? Right. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher, or it doesn't matter if your translation says master, rabbi, it doesn't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along on your journey, Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it's kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love.
If Jesus...
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, 214-210-8483 is the text, 972-445-0770 is the phone number. I'm going to go off. I'm going to go off what I had planned and give you a different kind of trivia question. I want you just to think about this. After the Sermon on the Mount, who was the first person, after the Sermon on the Mount, who was the first person that Jesus healed? After the sermon. Just think about that. 214-210-8483 is the text, 972-445-0770. Is the phone number. Keep in mind our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. I like it. I think it's cool. We're going to figure out a system where we do it. We'll have to figure out maybe a once and a twice. So if I'm talking about it in the first segment, we can do it once. And then at the last segment, we can just play it. We're just going to, you might have to have two separate files or something. Okay. There you go. We're doing production coordination during the show. I tell you guys everything. There's one I'm not going to tell you. That doesn't have any bearing on things, does it? I don't think so. I have a paper back from my professor. He has a devotional book, my professor, on Genesis, and I read the second chapter of it today, and it's phenomenal. So if I go through and get a few more chapters, I don't recommend a ton of books. I recommend the Bible. Okay, that's one that I can totally count on. I don't care what your translation is. As long as it's an actual translation. The Living Bible by itself is a paraphrase, so I don't say that I'm recommending that. But the New Living Translation, or the New Living Bible, that's a actual translation. I can go with that and upwards. So from that all the way to the NASB, which is, even though the ESV is really literal, it's not as literal as the NASB. I mean, you can say whatever you want to say. I've read them both multiple times. The NASB is the wooden version of the Bible, but it's as close as you're going to get from a translation point of view. All right, so the question is, who was the first person Jesus healed after the Sermon on the Mount? The reason I think that's important is because while chapter 4 in Matthew says that Jesus had healed people and there was some ministry that took place, the Sermon on the Mount is this real big first identifying public foray where everybody knows. And then chapter 8 and 9 in Matthew, where he speaks as the Messiah in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. In Matthew 8 and 9, he shows that he's Messiah. And so that's why I think that's an important connection for those that are not aware. Okay, let's go right into the core of this next DDD. And this is out of Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 through 21. Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present results, the survival of many people. Therefore, don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. The reason that I bring this passage up is because this passage has to do with something that a lot of people go through. A lot of Christians go through it, and non-Christians, even though we shouldn't be going through it, we still go through it. And that has to do with not just fear in general, but being afraid. Okay? Fear can have one element of it that is, there's a sense to it where there's a concern and there's a deep frowning that's connected to it. But to be afraid, that fear, that has the terror that's connected to it. And this is a very important portion because perfect love casts out fear. And if we are in the afraid mode, it's not because God's not loving us perfect. It's because we're not receiving it well. And that's the thing that I'm really trying to communicate. Think about heaven and earth, and just for the fun of it, think about a pipe that goes from earth to heaven. There is nothing that is coming from heaven to earth that is polluted, disrupted, or restricting. But the receiving end of the pipe puts clogs, dirt, sin, bricks, glass, molasses, all the other stuff, and any fly paper, Velcro, anything else you can come up with that either quenches, grieves, or slows down that flow. And the Lord doesn't want that in your life. And I think it's fair to say that what Joseph said to his brothers is the same thing that God says to his children in a very profound way, in maybe a step it back kind of way. First, from the Joseph to his brother's point of view, he said straight out to you, he said, "Look, you planned evil. You had the things you had in mind, not cool, not good." They weren't. They had a plan for evil. But in ultimate sovereignty, God took what was planned for evil and turned it into good. Many of you know that from Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. Actually, it says God causes all things to work together. So this is why I'm a bigger proponent of giving praise during the whole process, because you know in the end, it's going to result to be good. But you could be going through something awful. It could be something that was planned for evil. It could be something the devil has done. It could be something that relatives have done. It could be something that just evil, wicked people, ungodly people have planned. Anybody who's planning evil for you is not good. But even though they planned that evil, God planned to use that very evil and flip it. And he takes what is useless and makes it useful. He took Saul and turned him into Paul. He took the disaster and made it a blessing. I was thinking about this the other day, and you can get upset. Look, the majority of people that are going through what we're going through in our country with the COVID, it's been a tremendous, very difficult time for a lot of people in a lot of different ways. At the same time, there has been a larger harvest in the kingdom of God than there was in the prior 10 years. It's like, well, 10 years from now, you're going to look back and go, well, that's probably the Lord letting that stuff happen in the sense of using it. And so you're right, because people recognize how quickly they can die from a germ they can't see, and they surrender. It's like, that's, wow. What do you got to say about that? It's like the church persecution in the first century. It's awful. It's persecution. It's terrible, and people died. But the gospel was spread throughout the world. Like, well, that's kind of an interesting So a lot of this has to do with understanding that what others have planned, God does not, it is not the way that God says it will be. And in fact, I think what takes place, unfortunately for us, is we're thinking from time to time that what the plans are in our universe are greater than the plans of God. Ephesians 1:11 says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of God, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." Do not ever misunderstand. God has a plan, and his plan will be accomplished, period. But even if it's intended against you, God is able to change it for you. And what they intended to do to Joseph was used by God to save Israel. And you would never make that overall connection unless you had the same perspective and vision that God has. And in your life, what you see is evil against you. You have to have a comfort. Instead of having a fear, have a comfort that the God of the universe is faithful to his word and to his children, and his plan will prevail. And we don't have to be afraid, because he promises to take care of us. And the scripture says, "And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." That's what God does to you and I in the word. He says, "I'm going to make that work good. But it's a complete disaster, God. How can you do it?" You know what his response is, right? "My name is I Am." Good one, Dave. Great to pull from that one and bring that in. Yeah. He will. That's just awesome about him, right? All right. In answer to the trivia question, who was the first person that Jesus healed? It was the leper. It was a leper who came to him. The leper actually came to Jesus, acknowledged him as Lord, asked humbly, and asked him if he would petition. Then Jesus did something he wasn't supposed to do. He touched him, showing that he had power not just over the disease, but power over the law, because Jesus is Messiah. Like, wow! That's pretty cool stuff. Everybody did a great job on answering that question, so I want to thank everybody for that. Another fun show. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.